Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of I Guess We're Grown-Ups Now, a podcast about adulthood and being the kind of grown-ups we want to be. I'm your host, Carrie Halstead. My guest tonight is Brooke Shelley, a speaker, writer, and woman in tech from Portland and Austin. There's a lot of show notes for today's show, and you can find all of those, as always, at goodstuff.fm/grownups/20. You can find this podcast on iTunes if you want to subscribe so that you get to hear every new podcast as it comes out. And you can also find me on Twitter. I'm at grownups_FM. And of course, the podcast lives at goodstuff.fm, our broadcast network. I would like to thank our sponsor, who is FeedPress. FeedPress is a simple, intuitive, and powerful RSS analytics and podcast hosting platform. Featuring powerful subscriber and podcast download tracking, integrated newsletters, automated publishing to popular social networks such as Twitter and Facebook, a slick drag-and-drop podcast hosting interface, and everything you need in order to submit an optimized feed to iTunes. With 250 meg of flexible file storage that rolls over monthly, you can easily upload 4 episodes per month. Upgrading storage is easy and affordable, starting at a flat rate of just $20 per gig. FeedPress also features great new analytics for geolocation and valet migration from other platforms. Sign up today and try FeedPress on a 14-day trial, no contracts or commitments. Use promo code GRONUPS during checkout to get 10% off your first year. Thanks to FeedPress and goodstuff.fm for hosting I Guess We're Grown-Ups Now. Now my conversation with Brooke. Hope you enjoy. All right, so welcome to the show, Brooke Shelley. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So just as a bit of background, Brooke and I were co-workers for about a week and a half back in June, where I started working for the company that she was working for, and then she left. And I was so sad because when I met you, I was like, hey, that is a cool person. I can't wait to talk with her more. And then the next thing I heard was your like leaving letter. And I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And I was like, oh, it was the problem with that company was there were always so many cool new people being hired.
Yeah.
But I'd already kind of decided to go on to something else. And I was like, well, on the upside, at least we'll all be in Portland. And then I was like, oh no, you don't live here at all. So.
But then we got to hang out at XOXO.
Right. Which was fantastic.
XOXO was fantastic. And hanging out was fantastic. So.
Yeah, it totally was. I think that the experience of it was made that much better by having a few friends that we got to kind of render around with.
I don't right.
know. 1,000 people is still too many people to be by yourself, I think.
Yeah, so. It was a lot. And I was glad to have a couple people who I barely knew at the start, who I got to like get to know a little better as the weekend went on. So
yeah, it was great. I just watched a talk from that actually today.
I saw that they were out. I haven't had a chance to look at them yet. Which one did you go back and watch?
Well, I missed the Hairy Vagina talk because I was I slept in that morning and was like, oh, you know, whatever. I don't know who that person is. And I watched it this morning and it was fantastic. And I wish I'd seen it in person, but it was it lived up to expectations.
So. Yes. So that was Heather Armstrong's talk. We will put a link to it in the show notes. And she is one of the main reasons why I went to XOXO.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been reading her for 10 or 12 years.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a big, I was like, yeah, it's Heather Armstrong. And I mean, for me, her talk was great. It wasn't, but there were so many. This is the XOXO episode of I Guess We're Grownups Now. it wasn't even for me the highlight. Like I was like, there were so many great things that
there
weekend.
Totally were. And I don't, I guess I should say that my experience with mommy blogging is only knowing what Nicole Cliff writes about on the Toast, which is usually somewhat tongue in cheek about people's acronyms for things like whatever the, I forget what they are, but the ones about like my husband or like my kids, but like all the short acronyms that people use instead
yeah,
of
actions. DH and DS
yeah,
that's and
the
DD.
One.
Yeah.
Oh,
dear husband, dear
makes
daughter.
Me just, I don't know how to react to it.
It's creepy.
Oh God, it's so creepy. So I kind of got a bad idea about mommy blogging, but it was cool to hear about her experiences, I guess, with it. It was a new world for me. I have cats, but I feel like if you make a blog about, or sorry, like a blog or like a podcast about being a cat mom, that's like pretty terminal for your ability to go out and meet people to date or whatever. It's sort of like giving up. No offense to the cat bloggers out there. But,
I suppose. Having kids is actually pretty, you know, detrimental to like dating people too.
Sure, sure. But there's at least more to talk about.
Maybe.
My cats are doing what they always do, which is they're sleeping on a couch and a chair.
You could run the same podcast every week.
Yeah, or I could just pretend that they're learning things. Like, well, they went to school today. They stole some food. That's about
it. Oh my gosh. This is the best podcast ever, actually,
yeah.
that
yeah,
you
I
just
think
invented.
So. I'm going to get little clothes for them. It's going to be real weird.
All right. So besides having cats and we used to work together, what else do you want the people to know about yourself?
So I'm a recent Portland transplant. I grew up in Austin, Texas, which is sort of known as the music or liberal hub of Austin. Or sorry, of Texas, rather.
Right.
People consider Austin sometimes its own weird mini state inside of Texas because it's so different from the rest of it. But yeah, I grew up there, went to school there. Grew up in a very conservative household. Myself am very not conservative and very queer, and finally escaped because I was like, oh, Portland exists, so I should just go there instead of trying to hope for Austin to get better.
Right.
Yeah, and came out to work at Puppet. Yeah, I mostly like hike around and bike around and read and write, and those are my sort of things that I do around town. I do a lot of like spoken word events.
Nice.
Yeah, which is kind of fun. I also end up traveling for conferences pretty often. Like I was just in Houston again, which was surreal, for Grace Hopper, which is like a
right.
women's engineering conference.
Yep.
It was surreal because it was like visiting an ex. Like the whole state of Texas felt like my ex. Huh. I was just like, had some mixed feelings about seeing it again because I was like, you didn't treat me super well last time. I don't know how this is going to go. But it was pretty, it was all right. It was super different. It reminded me why I left, I guess I should say.
Yeah, it's interesting. I grew up here around Saskatoon and then moved away for, you know, 15 years. And it was always interesting coming back, seeing my family. I didn't see my friends from high school a whole lot. But just like the geography of it and the climate and the old places. It's always a little like there's that weird nostalgia about stuff
yeah.
you thought was amazing when you were a kid. And as an adult, you're kind of like, like I kind of hate it. But I also like a part that's so fundamental to who I am loves
right.
it.
Well, is that sort of that concept of like you can't go home again?
Right.
That like once I've moved away, once I had left all those folks behind, there's people who are close to me still to some degree. But my moving away was also pretty consistent with I had a divorce in there and like a lot of other things that kind of predicated getting a pretty different community, pretty new community in Portland. And so, yeah, going back, I was like, oh, we don't have as much we connect on anymore. Mm. Or like, here are the very specific things that we can go do, like go eat. But even like my friend runs a queer bar there that's really great called Cheer Up Charlie's. And even going to that, I was like, wait, like this is queer in a different way than Portland is. And yeah, it was just so, so odd. Although I got tacos, which was great because I miss tacos.
Yeah, I imagine tacos there are better than like just about anywhere north of there.
Pretty much, yeah. and especially the breakfast tacos. And they make these like sangria slushies at this one place. I'm not going to admit to doing this, but if you do say get a sangria slushie at El Cholito and you happen to just kind of walk away, you might be able to wander around the streets of Austin drinking a sangria slushie, but it's super illegal. So I
that
would
be wrong to do, Brooke.
That would be terrible. So I would not recommend it, but they're delicious.
And portable.
And well, yeah, sure.
Hypothetically speaking.
My mom saw me get one and she was just like, are you, what do you, how do you, like, you can just take that? And I was like, no, you can't take this away from here.
No. And we're doing it anyway.
Well, in New Orleans, they put a little sticker over the top of the straw, right? to at least pretend that you're doing something okay. But anyway.
When I was in Germany last spring, it was amazing to see people in public with open alcohol. Like, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
People on the beach with beers. It's like, this is amazing. Why do we have these laws about, yeah.
Well, and I think it's the people who, you know, can't be, who are not responsible,
right,
who might ruin it for the rest of us.
Like, some bad apples out there.
Yeah, I was in Tokyo and it was the same thing. And they also have a culture of, like, if you're publicly drunk, someone will help you get home. But like, you will be an embarrassment. So like, they will try to shuffle you away. So it was kind of like, don't do that. You'll lose face and like kind of be shame yourself. So
it's so cute, but so effective, right?
Yeah, like, it's perfect. Wow. And they have like, yeah, that was a strange choice. Although eating on the street, really rude. Not a good idea to do there. So.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. My friend and I were very much stared at for trying to like eat something outside of 7-Eleven. So
I find it humorous that there are 7-Elevens even in Japan.
Amazing. Oh, the 7-Elevens there are way better than ours. I don't know how they are in Canada.
No, they're pretty slubby here in Canada.
Well, you have the dill chips and the all dressed. So.
Ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup. But but there they have like handmade rice balls and like all sorts of prepared food that's pretty stellar. Huh. So yeah.
Gotta travel. Traveling is so good.
Yeah. No, it's a nice thing to do with occasional free time.
Yeah, and money.
Yeah, there's that part. Well, okay. So here's a weird admission. I've never really traveled on my own money.
See, good policy.
Adult. Yeah. So I've either traveled for work or I told you earlier that I grew up conservative and Christian. Mm-hmm. So maybe I didn't mention the Christian part, but I grew up Christian, or at least was raised that way.
Me too.
Yeah, okay.
That's a whole other episode. Let's see.
Yeah, which flavor, real quick? I'm just curious.
Anglican, which is Episcopalian.
Yep, totally. So I grew up in a sort of Baptist evangelical background. So from a younger age, people would spend money to send me to places ostensibly talk about Jesus, but I never really did.
You got laid. I mean, sorry, that's a terrible cough I have.
I was 12. I was 12 the first time.
Okay.
I was skateboarding.
Inappropriate.
In Switzerland. But later on, sure. Yeah. actually, I don't know. Take it back. I may not have. Oh, God. I wasted all that time. but I went to like India to go play a bunch of rock shows. And I went to Taiwan to help like renovate a coffee shop for like a Christian organization.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then with the Tokyo and Hong Kong trip, my ex's parents paid for us to come and visit them. And then I was like, we should spend a little bit of money to fly to Tokyo.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I still need to have like I'm an adult and I dropped $1,000 to go somewhere inadvisable.
Yeah. I'm enjoying traveling for work now. Like I get to go to Portland every couple of months, a few months. And that's been a nice thing. I mean, it's nice to discover a city and not really have any commitment to it either. Like, I don't have to find a place to live or, like, I don't have to visit family while I'm there. I just go and enjoy it and work. I mean.
And all of our bars and our, like, now legal marijuana, which is so strange.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, never. I mean.
I assume people who like that would be into that.
Wait, which province are you in?
Saskatchewan.
Okay, gotcha. I don't know anything about the laws in Saskatchewan, so.
Yeah, it's been a little bit weird around here recently. It's not legal, but there are a couple shops opening up. Like, I think they're trying to push the issue.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. But the Liberal government that just got elected.
Yeah, Trudeau.
One of their provinces was to legalize marijuana, so we may be joining your fine ranks very soon.
It's one of those, it's like public drinking. It's like, it's kind of like, meh, I don't know, why not? But it doesn't really matter all that much.
Right. I mean, it, do if you want to and don't if you don't want to, and try not to get in car accidents if you do. So
yeah. Quick note, I wanted to bring this up.
Yeah.
A tangent, but you just mentioned Trudeau. I watched him fall down the stairs on the John Oliver program.
And wasn't that amazing?
How is that? What is like, okay. I don't get it, but it's way better than Harper. So.
it's pretty pretty interesting. He's an interesting guy. I mean, he's like 6 months older than me. Mm-hmm. And I've been aware of who he is for decades, because his dad was prime minister for a long time, and he's really good looking. Like, I mean, he's just like, before he was in politics, I mean, like, there were photographs taken of him because he's mm-hmm. just a good looking guy and really friendly and nice. And it's just so different from Stephen Harper or just about any other politician in literally the world.
No, totally. I am looking at a photo of him in a really bad goatee right now, and I'm thinking that I can't really fathom heterosexuality. I'm just gonna stick with that.
The goatee was definitely a mistake.
Yeah, he looks just sort of an evil twin of himself. but no, I'm really stoked. I have a bunch of friends in Canada, and I have plans to go to Winnipeg, and so
I'm glad
to know the politics will get better. Oh, I hope Marika listens to this.
I just lost the Winnipeg audience. No, sorry. No,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've heard great things from her.
Yeah, and then it's a great city, actually. We joke because. Because Saskatchewan and Manitoba are beside each other, and so it's like rivalry, blah. But Winnipeg is an amazing city, and they have an IKEA, which we can't even, like, we will never have an IKEA, so we can only be jealous of Winnipeg.
Wow, you don't have an IKEA. That's
so fair. Sad.
Yeah. No, I was glad to see the news. I'm hoping that eventually, when our horribly long election cycle's over, we have some similarly good news.
But that segment on John Oliver was so hilarious. We will also put it, in case like you live under a rock and haven't seen it, I will.
Or in America.
He's a treasure to everyone.
It's true. I should also say now, as a quick note, I often get mistaken for Canadians because of my accent, but I am not Canadian. And then I ended up knowing way too much about Canadian politics because of friends.
Because of friends.
Which doesn't help. So when I got hired at my new company after, a few months or something, we hired some new Canadian folks, and the HR director was like, you'll be happy we hired more Canadians. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm from Texas.
So what do you attribute not having a Southern accent, but having what is mistaken for a Northern accent? That's
so initially it was, I wanted to, when I was traveling, I was like, it's better not to sound Texan or American. And so I didn't. And then I had a lot of Canadian friends. So it was just sort of something I could like use as an anti-pattern.
Right. You could
follow along with. Yeah.
That's nice. You can appropriate our culture to,
you know, exactly. I'm just stealing. And I think I watched a bunch of like British TV, so other weird things snuck in. So I started saying progress and project.
Nice.
Which not every Canadian does, but
we're very confused about project and process.
And yeah, process and I will and never project. Say Puma or so. There's a few things like that I just can't get behind.
What is the structure on top of your house called?
Oh yeah, the roof.
Okay.
Not the roof. Or the roof, yeah. And I didn't say a boot.
Oh, but if the sun shines today, what did it do yesterday?
Oh, it set? Wait.
No, no.
I don't know.
Like, what's the past tense of shine?
Oh, shone. Ah! Wait, what do you say?
Sean.
Oh, wow.
Like, rhymes with gone.
Oh, or like the guy that works in IT or something. Yeah. Sean. Okay. Well, see, there's distinctions.
I know.
Those are like those hidden things that people won't catch. But real Canadians will always know that I'm a fake Canadian. So
because you say shown.
Because I say shown. And because, yeah, all sorts of other things. My obsession with barbecue, probably.
Probably. We don't know what barbecue is up here.
It's true.
For us, it's an appliance on the back deck where we barbecue our steaks.
And I'm confused by French, so
that also helps. Yeah, you're not Canadian then, sorry.
It's true. So true.
So you listened to a couple episodes anyway of I guess We're Grown-Ups Now. What kind of things about it have been resonating with you?
So I just think it's really fascinating to hear people talk about what it even means to be a grown-up. Like, it's not something that I've ever gotten a firm grasp on what that is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people's perspectives on here are the challenges I'm going through. Here are the weird things that I have to deal with. And kind of looking around and realizing, oh God, I'm in my 30s now and people expect things of me that they didn't used to expect of me. And I have to deliver or not. And then there's consequences at this point. That's usually something I'm thinking about. And so every time I heard a guest kind of mention things like that, I was like, okay, all right, well, I'm scared of this.
Yeah. What do you think makes a good adult? I mean, never mind yourself. We're talking about other people here.
Oh, generally.
we'll deal with the other part next.
Yeah, I think, I'd say a sense of responsibility, a sense of being able to apologize, being able to listen. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. And the sort of I don't know. A friend of mine referred to me as a doer, somebody who just does stuff when I need to. And yeah. I think that's a good thing to do. Instead of being oh, I should take the trash out, just take the trash out. I think that's maybe a more general attitude I think is good for being a grown up, because it just means you get more done.
Yeah.
Then you have more leisure time. You don't have to worry about things in that leisure time. I'm reading a book right now, but I should be doing this other stuff.
Do the other stuff.
But I definitely don't think that you have to have kids or that you have to own a house. I don't have any of those sorts of things right in my head. Just sort of a general growing and maturity that slowly happens over the course of your life and death. So
I think we could do an episode on just about every single item you touch there. Apologies is such a huge one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still really hard.
Right.
Especially when you don't feel like you're wrong.
Oh, totally.
Let that go is really big.
There's so many levels to figuring out you're wrong or doing it anyway, or what are the words you say? What are the words you don't say anyway? Yeah.
Right. And sorry is as easy as a word to say as love is for some people. But saying you're sorry doesn't mean that anything will change or that you actually are. So it's a lot more commitment to that. But I agree. We should definitely cover that at some point in time.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
It's a good one.
So the last episode that I recorded was with my fabulous friend Hillary, who is an amazing human being, and everyone should follow her on Twitter because she's funny. And I posed to her this theme for, the next round of episodes, which was I would ask the next guest a question posed by the previous guest. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how long this lasts. I don't know. If we end up being co-hosts or something, it's dead.
Yeah.
But so,
or we just ask each other weird questions. We'll figure it out.
Which is pretty much what podcasting is.
Exactly.
So her question was, she found herself in this situation where she rediscovered a hobby from her youth. In her case, it was a video game, and she just became obsessed with it for a while. And she wanted to know if this happened to other people as well.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
So tell me.
Yeah. So I should go back to when I was a kid, and still now fairly introverted, except I can still go out and talk to people. But my biggest hobby when I was younger was reading, and mostly sci-fi and fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then because I thought I had to be a grown-up to go to college, I kind of went away from that and said, I'm only going to read serious literature. I'm going to read mostly modern and 19th century literature and Russian literature and expose myself to that world. So I read nothing but that for the next probably 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
So I read a lot of really important work, I suppose. But I lost touch with the fun a lot of times of reading just silly things and a couple of years ago, I decided to no longer read men for the foreseeable future.
Nice.
Because I'd read so much of the sort of white male canon that I realized I'd missed out on a lot of treasure troves of work. And I also then made the connection that a lot of the people I loved to read when I was younger were women who wrote science fiction or fantasy, sometimes under like with their initials instead of their names.
Yeah.
You didn't know they were women because they could get read because, anyway, misogyny. So I just started, so I just started reading that again, and I picked up some young adult novels. I stopped taking myself seriously and was like, I don't care if someone sees that I'm reading, you know, the Harry Potter series or whatever. And fortunately, some of the authors that I liked from sort of modern literature also wrote some young adult fiction, like Michelle Tee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she wrote The Mermaid of Chelsea Creek, and then it's a trilogy. So Michelle Tee writes, if people don't know, like largely queer memoir.
Okay. And,
like, this book of Valencia, which is about her sort of troubled 20s in San Francisco. Her most recent book, I think, is called How to Grow Up, which is also appropriate. And it's a memoir about realizing that she's in her 30s and living at a punk house and being like, I need to figure out how to be a grown up. And then it progresses to her deciding to have a child, then getting a partner, and then having a child and all that kind of stuff. But to go back to the science fiction fantasy stuff, I just got to dive in and explore it. And I still read literature. I'm in a book club with a bunch of other dykes, and we read lesbian literature specifically. But a lot of the time, like probably 50-60% of the time, I'm reading some awesome sci-fi by a woman of color or by a queer woman or both. And I'm just getting so many more perspectives than I had before. And there's these wild stories that explore like some of the worlds that I can't even fathom, you know,
right.
Other experiences that I can't fathom. And in a way that I hadn't in a long time, I got absorbed by reading to the point that I would not sleep at night and like be tired the next day at work. Cause I was like, well, I finished that book, but it was at 4 AM or, you know, the bad habit of childhood of like walking into things when I was reading on the street, when I was walking around
before your cell phone.
Yeah. Or like being in the restroom and reading and then like my legs falling asleep, all that kind of stuff that I did when I was younger, that's a terrible idea to do, happened again. It was a, yeah. So I think it does happen. I think hobbies do reemerge, and for better or for worse, maybe in some of the same exact ways they did when we were children. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you go back and read like some of your favorites from when you were a kid? Did they hold up?
Yeah, I did a couple, and they did. There's a few that I'm saving that I'm like really excited to go revisit, but I wanted to like, you know, really think about before I went through with it. And those I'm scared they won't. But like it's a little bit limited because like some of the people I read were dudes, and I'm not going to read dudes,
yeah.
Right? But there's a series from like C.S. Friedman that's about, I don't know, it's this bizarre series of like people who land on a planet, and the planet will make whatever you're thinking about come true.
Mm.
So I think there's some movies with similar topics, but like really, really wild. And they had sort of a vampire love story thing too. This was in the 90s, like way before like Twilight or whatever, but it piqued my curiosity. So I will go back and read that and report back for sure.
Nice. I am not a big sci-fi reader. I don't know. I just never got into it, but I read a book this past summer called The Summer Prince by Olea Dawn. Have you read it? It's a young adult actually novel.
Great.
But yeah, it was a fascinating book. And
what's it about? Like short little,
It's sort of post-apocalyptic.
Yes.
And it's set in Brazil, and it's a matriarchy.
Oh, perfect.
And every year they select a summer prince, and he like lives the high life, but then at the end of the summer he died, like he is ritually killed.
Okay. It's so, like a Wicker Mountain kind of thing.
Maybe, I don't know, Wicker Mountain.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, it was really good. It was very the relationships in it, like the romantic relationships in it, made no big deal about whether they were straight or gay or anywhere in between. Like, cool. It just took matriarchy for granted and gender for granted. It was just, everything was fluid and didn't matter. Like, it wasn't the point of the story.
Oh, that's rad.
That somebody was lesbian or old or young, or it was just, it was great. It was a neat,
that's really fun
presentation of it. Yeah.
I just finished a book the other day too, that I think everyone's reading this series, it seems like, right now, but it was, it's called Ancillary Justice, I think was the first one. Sci-fi series, about spaceships and such, but the main character, maybe spoiler alert, possibly, but the main character used to be a spaceship.
Oh, wow.
And is now a person.
Cool.
And the language that this person and the people in her world speak are, or has no pronouns, doesn't have gendered pronouns at all. And so the author chose to use she pronouns for everyone when they're speaking this language. Even though in the language there's no gender, she just settled on she as the gender neutral one. Which is really wild, because you're reading the book and then someone is also seeing a character and then says, like, you know, genders the person the other way because they're speaking a different language, or they describe the person physically. And it just really, it does a lot to make you, like, think about what you assume about people in different stations or in different roles.
Right.
And it was a pretty fun read. I don't know if I'll make you a sci-fi reader, but I can definitely recommend some things that I enjoyed.
Send me a list and we'll put it in the show notes. It's awesome.
So what about you? What do you think about, like, hobbies reemerging? Did you have something that came back from your childhood?
I've been trying to think about that, and I don't really, every once in a while I'll try to draw or try to write fiction. And I mean, I think I did this when I was a kid too. I'll spend like 2 days on trying to, like, be someone who draws or someone who writes and like produce horrible content. Of course, because you don't become a master in 2 days. So yeah. This is my, like, hobby, is like giving up on something I'm not really good at instantly.
Your hobby is giving up. I like that.
Yeah. So maybe I do that, like, all the time. But I don't know if I, like, had any long-term hobbies when I was a kid. Although, I mean, I'm into sports, like watching sports, which is a bit unusual. And in high school, I was obsessed with it. My friend Tamara and I would wander the hallways at recess and talk about sports ad nauseum. It was like we were obsessed with players and teams and games, and we'd watch a game the night before and, like, talk about it. Like, our friends hated us because that's all we wanted to talk about, and we had crushes on these hockey players and football players, and it was ridiculous. Yeah. So I mean, I fell out of it a bit in my 20s, I guess, but every once in a while I'll start watching a sport seriously and get obsessed with it again. I mean, this year it's baseball, because up until Friday night the Blue Jays were in it and then they lost. Yeah, anyway, my problem.
I was listening to a different podcast where they made up a cocktail for the Blue Jays, because when they recorded the podcast they were still in it as well. So since I don't keep up with sports, as far as I knew, the Blue Jays were doing really well.
Yeah, so. Well, they were doing really well until they were not doing very well at all. So
now we know.
Yeah.
What do you think kept you away from sports viewing in the interim? Like, do you feel like there was something that replaced it?
I think having kids took away my big blocks of time. Like, it's hard to watch a 4-hour baseball game every night or every other night for a whole summer when, you know, there's kids who need feeding and cleaning and playing with and stuff like that. And my kids are getting to an age now where I can, you know, leave them in a room for a few hours and they're happy by themselves because they're, you know, youth, not babies. So So having a little more free time now, I also started playing soccer a couple mm-hmm. years ago. And so I started watching soccer when I did that too. And I love watching soccer on TV now, which yeah. a lot of people hate it. I just, I understand it so much more now that I play it, that it's fun.
Did you watch the Women's World Cup?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a lesbian holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really great.
It's a straight girl fan holiday too. It's oh, yeah, very totally. Fun. Like all my soccer friends are like, awesome. Going to games and yeah.
We watched it at Puppet, actually, when I was at the company we used to work at. Right. We had it on the big screen all the time, which is really fun.
Yeah.
I can't say I was ever a sports fan particularly, because I feel like similar to having the Texas accent, sports was something that I kind of didn't like when yeah. I was in Texas, because yeah. it was a certain type of people that really liked sports, and usually those people were not very nice to me. So
right.
I yeah. avoided it, but...
There's a lot yeah. of cultural baggage that goes with a lot of sports. I never got back into hockey as an adult.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's changed. Well, maybe it's just me that's changed. But yeah, I'm not into hockey.
There's a podcast too.
Yeah.
As the ways that hockey's changed. It used to be something.
Used to be something.
I watch Formula One racing, which is
what?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I grew up, my uncle was a car racing person.
Really?
Yeah, he was involved in as a pit chief person for some kart teams and a few other things. He raced motorcycles when he was younger. And so I grew up around car racing a bit and always liked it. Watched races when I was younger. And then that's another thing that I kind of it lapsed when I was, you know, kind of in college and such. And then got back into it, especially... the couple years before we opened the track in Austin, Texas, I'd been watching, and then we opened a track. And we were the only track in the United States, and it was really exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I moved away from the only track in the United States, which is sad. But but yeah, it's really fun. It's like a kind of, I mean, similar to a lot of other sports, it's like a soap opera with a game around it.
Yeah.
All the people who participate have huge personalities. They get paid a lot of money to be ridiculous. And there's always a drama. And then people are racing. And sometimes the cars break. And fortunately, people don't get hurt very often. But it's the only thing I consistently watch that is a sport.
Huh.
So, yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah, F1 is not something I ever watched a lot. Although once a year, like when I lived in Toronto, once a year... the city would shut down for the weekend because it was Formula One.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
There are some, I will say this though, back to the heterosexuality topic, there are some guys in Formula One that are kind of cute. And I'm like, all right, maybe see what's going on. Unfortunately,
you're probably taller than all of them. I don't know if that matters.
No, good point. Yeah. Yeah. I would tower over them. Maybe that'd be fun. Maybe that'd be great. They could just drive me around their car and I would be taller. I don't know.
That'd be amazing.
It'd be amazing.
All right. So what is your question that you would like to hear the next person, whether it's us or someone else, talk about on the show?
So this is actually kind of somber after the really fun one, but this is the one that I was thinking about. And it's, when did you first feel like mortality? When did you first feel like I might die as an adult? Because I think that for me and a lot of people I know, our 20s were often characterized by feeling like this is going to last forever. We're having a great time. That said, I had a few friends who had things happen to them in their 20s that really did hit that home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm curious to find out kind of when us or a guest first went, oh, shit, this is not an endless ride.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to have to think about that and get my thoughts collected. I've always been a bit of a morbid kid.
Same.
I think I've always been, I still am. But I remember crying myself to sleep in high school, thinking about what would happen if I died.
Oh, no.
It was never what would happen if my parents died. It was what would happen to the people if I died?
What would the world do without me?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, I mean, I grew up with a very easy answer to that question, which is well, you go to heaven or you go to hell. You're really fucked up.
Right.
Yeah, and then I got rid of that. So that'll be a fun topic.
Totally.
Yeah. Still a morbid kid, though. I definitely wore black a lot for a lot of my youth. So.
Hilarious. Yeah. Has adulthood gone the way you pictured it? Like,
oh, geez. No. Short answer, no. No, I kind of had to become an adult really early, I should say. I was the older child.
Yeah.
My sister was 7 years younger than me.
Oh, wow.
And from a young age, due to some things that we can go into another episode or something, I was taking care of her a lot of the time. And I moved out at 17 to live with a partner. And she and I lived with her sister. And, like, I worked. So I grew up really fast in some ways, and in other ways didn't grow up for a while.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought to myself, like, oh, the pinnacle of this is going to be meeting a person, falling in love, getting married, maybe having a kid or two or three, and then maybe, I don't know, buying a house or something.
Yeah.
And so I did the first few. I got married. My ex, who is a good friend of mine, actually, was another lesbian person who I met after university, and yeah, we didn't think it would end. And then after 7 years of being together and 5 years of that being like gay married, which was fun, mm-hmm. We decided to end it. And so I had to rethink everything I thought was like my adulthood future. Cause I was just like, oh, I'm on like neutral now, or not neutral. I'm on like a cruise control now. I can just kind of like coast on into like the future.
But it turns out you were in neutral.
yeah, it turns out that I just like broke the car completely. But the cool thing about it is after I got through some of that and did some soul searching and had been going to therapy for a few years, like everything is so much better now. And I bet that they would also agree with that statement.
Yeah.
And I think it took a lot of failure, like it often does, for me to kind of get a better idea of how little I do know about adulthood, and then maybe start really learning. So, yeah. How about you? Did you feel similarly, or?
It's funny. I think I tend to go through life. I've had moments where I'm like, why isn't this going at all? Like, why am I not living life, that life over there, instead of this life that I'm living? Like, you have this, envy or jealousy is the only,
oh yeah,
like easy term for it. You look at somebody else's life or some like construct that you can put together in your brain and go, like, why isn't it like that? But then I also know that if I look at my series of choices that I've made, like, no, I wasn't going to wind up over there. Like, I have consciously made my life into what it is. And so while, like, in a fit of, you know, rage, I might think that nothing has gone the way I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely false. I mean, everything, I had a very eye-opening experience. I was going through like a scrapbook I'd made a long time ago of when I graduated high school. There were newspaper clippings and stuff like that. I was a smart kid, and yeah, there was like scholarship announcements and stuff like that. And once I was actually interviewed by a reporter about a scholarship I'd gotten, and that person asked me, like, where do you picture yourself in 5 or 10 years? And I said, oh, I'll probably be like working for, you know, a big corporation. I'm like, oh,
wow.
Like, I planned this, right? This was no accident. I didn't like stumble into a job at IBM. Like, I wanted that.
Wow.
And maybe it was that I didn't completely understand it. Well, it's totally that. and that you never see from the front side, you never see all the drawbacks of something, but like I picked my own path through life, and any dissatisfaction I have with it is ridiculous. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. You kind of go, oh, like it isn't perfect, but nothing is.
Right.
And like obviously it's not going to live up to what you wanted when you were younger. When I was a kid, I'm really glad this didn't work out because I probably wouldn't be on this podcast. When I was a kid, I was obsessed with a comic book series with a character called Deadpool. Uh-huh. And his profession was being a mercenary assassin. And so I used to tell my grandma all the time that that's what I wanted to do, which is a weird thing for a little girl to say to her grandma. But I did. And she just kind of was like, okay, that's neat. And even like made me a costume. So fortunately, I don't kill people for a living. That would be really rough.
That would make for a great podcast.
Oh, God. Yeah. Like, here's my podcast about growing up. And also, I kill people. No, no, don't do that. Yeah. And I never would have thought I would go into tech. I went into tech sort of as a necessity. We should talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to be a writer, which now I also am, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen in the way that I thought it would. And I'm still surprised that I'm actually writing.
Oh my gosh. That's a whole episode too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
The things we sort of loudly declared when we were kids is hilarious.
Yeah.
My mom remembers me saying quite certain when I was in high school that somebody asked me if I planned on having kids, and I told them only when scientists figure out how to make a man get pregnant. With the implication being like, my life is too busy to be the one getting pregnant and having babies. So yeah. I'm like, okay. So yeah. Obviously, well, that didn't happen.
Well, how long ago did you have kids?
My oldest is 12 and a half. So
you beat the first trans guy to have a kid, I think, by a few years.
Oh, okay.
At least the first trans guy to publicly have a kid.
I guess I gave up.
Yeah, you gave up.
Gave up waiting.
Yeah, but it's happening now. It occasionally happens. It's always fun. There was that news story back a while ago that was like very notable because I think he'd also had top surgery, and so it just appeared very much like the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie,
right?
Like,
yeah,
Junior or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I still don't think I'm going to have kids. That is, well, I'm also like incapable of having kids, which is another topic. But I don't know. I've said this before to partners where I'm like, well, if you really want them, then maybe we could figure something out. But I don't have a lot of strong feelings myself. Like, my cat is pretty cool, and my roommate's cat's pretty cool, and they can poop in a box, and I can leave them home when I go somewhere, yep. And I don't have to, like, be responsible in a super strong way for them.
Totally.
Plus, I'm just pretty sure, and another topic of conversation, that if I did have kids, I would fuck it up really bad, and they would resent me, so.
Well, but I don't know how you can work around that. I mean, I'm not trying to convince you that you should have kids. I'm saying
that could be the overarching theme of this podcast is you just slowly convincing me to be a mother.
No. Oh God, no. I would never, ever, ever do that to anyone.
That's good. You've passed my test.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, and I don't think that I have joked, and maybe you thought of this as a mom. Like, maybe if I did have kids, I would raise them the same way my parents raised me. So they would eventually rebel against it and be similar to me. Because my deep-seated fear, and probably proof that I shouldn't be a parent, is I'm like, well, what if I had a boy who liked, like, American football and was, like, heterosexual in kind of a gross way that was, like, really misogynist and, like... like, I don't know, shot guns all the time and went to church. Like, how would I even talk to that person?
Right. Yes.
Like, and I don't know. I imagine that, like, to some degree, kids always, like, rebel against their parents. But who knows? The easiest way to solve that problem is just, like, hang out with my friend's kids occasionally and then go home when they get whiny.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. That is a whole other episode. But yeah, no, I'm like, so my experience of motherhood, parenthood is such that I would never try to convince someone who wasn't even, it's not even that they don't want to become a parent. I wouldn't convince them. It's that even if you're like borderline, I'm just as likely to convince you to never have kids. It's basically like a personal choice, but I am like not one of these people who are going to be like, you have to you. Like, it is the best thing that ever happened to me. And yeah. How can you go through life? Yeah, no, that's not, that is every, goes against everything I believe about humanity.
I have a friend from back in Austin who I had known for years, and her and my other friend are partners, and they're, I don't know if they actually identify as queerful, but they are kind of queerful. And I think they have 5, maybe 6 kids, and they have another family member who has about 7 kids. And like, I talking to her about it, she was just like, I love being pregnant. It's the best thing. And every time I mention that to a woman who's been pregnant who isn't her, she's kind of like, what? I'm like, I don't know. It worked for her. It worked for her really well. She prefers being pregnant.
Yeah. I prefer being pregnant too.
Whoa. Okay.
It's, maybe this is a thing. What happens after?
I prefer drinking bourbon, but I mean, exactly. You get to make your decision. Yes.
That is such a great. Oh my God. There's so much truth in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I think they've relaxed that now. You can actually drink a little bit when you're pregnant.
I just mean that if you like, drink a lot of bourbon.
Oh, sure.
Like, you pay the price for that too.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it's fun while you're drinking it.
Just one cocktail and then a book and reading, just really responsibly. That's what I do. Right. I also, oh God, random note about the bourbon. I have another friend who has kids who, when they were teething when they were little, he would just be like, oh, you just rub some whiskey on their gums.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God.
It's very scientific.
You're the coolest dad. So yeah, scientific. Exactly. Well, they were like, these baby aspirin are expensive. We already have the whiskey. So.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they did 100 years ago. So.
Exactly. And look how we all turned out.
Exactly. We invented the internet.
We did. Yes. Yes, we did. And we have managed to not completely and totally destroy the world yet. So.
Yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell people about how they can contact you on the internet and if there's anything else that you're making that you think they should see.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm on Twitter at Brooke Shelley. We'll put that in the liner notes too.
Yeah.
It's my account for work and fun, and I mix it up, and it's probably a not safe for work account, even though it also is used for my work sometimes. But yeah, I've been using Twitter for a long, long time. It's the best place. And then I also have a book that just came out, or I'm at least in a book that just came out called Lean Out, that is stories of misogyny in tech. And that is from OR Books. And I think it's on their website, which is orbooks.com.
Cool.
And we'll put that and link in there as well. And yeah, it's pretty good. There's about, I think, 15 or so authors in it. And it's people all over different spectrums, or women mostly all over different spectrums of like race and class and sexuality, talking about how tech is for us or was for us. Mm-hmm. And some of the stories are really, really sad, and some of them are really just hilarious and strange. And I think it's worth reading. So.
Nice. It's on my reading list. I admit I have not read it yet, but it is.
I finally got a copy. I didn't have one for a while. I saw my editor at the conference I went to, and I was like, hey, Alyssa, I didn't actually get a copy of it yet. She was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Like, and I had one in my mailbox when I got home. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was quick. It was good.
I love the concept of a book titled Lean Out and about that topic, and the cover looks amazing. And yeah.
It was fun to do. I kind of got hit up by her randomly, and she was like, so I heard that you talk about this stuff. Would you want to write in a book for me? And it was nice. It was right when I started at my last job. So I was like, oh my God, yes, that'd be cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This was really fun.
It was. And we'll have you on again, and offline we'll talk about like how regular that will be. But I mean, obviously we have lots of ground to cover, and
so
thanks for being on.
Yeah. Thanks again. Have a great evening.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening. So, as we hinted at kind of all through that episode, Brooke and I were kind of checking out the possibility of her joining me as a co-host on the show. And indeed, that is what's going to happen. So, welcome Brooke as co-host of I Guess We're Grownups Now. I suspect there's a bunch of amazing conversations to come, and I hope you all are going to listen to them. As always, you can subscribe on iTunes. You can just search for, I guess, for Grownups Now in iTunes, and you'll find us. Follow us on Twitter at grownups_FM. Thanks again to FeedPress and Good Stuff for hosting, I guess, for Grownups Now. Have a great day. Talk soon.